Networking and Health Information Exchange, Unit 7C, Supporting Standards for EHR Application. Unit 7C Objectives: Understand the Info Button, Understand Disease Management, Other Clinical Decision Support Applications. On the average, physicians will have two questions for every three patients seen. These questions deal with treatment for specific problems related to diagnosis, related to a medication, or other. About 50% of these questions go unanswered. The info button is designed to contribute to the solution of this problem. The info button is a key standard originally developed at Columbia University by Dr. Jim Simoneau and others and now being developed as an HL7 standard. The info button has been very quickly accepted and implemented by the vendor community. The beauty of the info button is that it can be tailored to the class of the user. One set of information for the professional, another for the layperson. The info button provides content-sensitive links to information that can be seamlessly built into the clinical information system. It uses an SOA framework, sending queries to the CDSS using data from the EHR. The CIS places an info button next to a data element such as a diagnosis, lab result, which may be abnormal, or a drug. When clicked, the info button causes a query based on the context of the interaction, the patient, the data, the activity, and the user. This content-sensitive interaction between data and knowledge is an extremely powerful tool. The software that supports the info button is encapsulated as an SOA component, which provides a decision support service. The context data is fed to the component in a prescribed fashion using an XML syntax. The info button software responds with a displayable message. The info button software is independent of the CIS application. Either can be changed or updated without impacting the other. This slide shows only a few of the information sources available. Unfortunately, the access method for each of these resources is different. Info button is aware of the access to each of these resources and properly configures the query. The implementations are XML or URL based for the HL7 info button. Standard languages supported include RxNorm, LOINC, SNOMEDCT, and MESH. The URL can be automatically derived from the XML message. Free text is an option. This slide shows a screen display from Columbia University. In this illustrated example, the user is interested in information about a drug, Captorol, tablet, 12.5 milligrams strength. The info button manager creates an HTML query that creates a hyperlink to Lexi-PALS, which delivers a web service display. Based on characteristics of the user, the response is in Spanish and comes from the internet. The info button manager also displays frequently asked questions so the user can expand the user query with just an additional click of the button. Other links are provided. This slide includes another info button example. In this case, the response is tailored for a patient and provides additional services and links with the patient's EHR. This example might be part of a PHR application. Much of healthcare has expanded beyond acute care to dealing with chronic disease. As patients live longer, dealing with chronic disease has not only become important, but uses more resources. A RAND study in 2001 reported that Americans only received 54% of the care they required. In many cases, this poor quality is related to the failure to manage chronic disease. An important use of HIT is directed towards the management of chronic disease. Each chronic disease has data elements that need to be tracked, tests that should be performed and the results monitored, appropriate medications, and return visits at specified intervals. The disease management program manages all of this for a particular disease and the patients that have that disease. It tracks events, issues reminders for required tests, identifies patients whose goals are not reached. For example, if the goal of a diabetes disease management was for all patients to have a hemoglobin A1C of less than 7, a list of those patients not meeting that goal could be generated. Those patients could, for example, be scheduled for a visit, a letter, perhaps urging compliance with the treatment could be sent, or some other appropriate action be taken. The disease management protocol also manages workflows with report creation and other workflow processes. This slide illustrates a disease management system which supports DM programs for diabetes, asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, coronary heart disease, CHD, chronic heart failure, CHF, and primary heart disease. There are potentially over 100 diseases for which disease management protocols could be developed. This example includes some of the items tracked for patients in the CAD registry. Computer physician order entry systems, CPOE, are becoming prevalent in developed countries. Although these systems are often vastly different, all have in common the objective of appropriate testing, patient safety, higher quality of care, and reducing cost. CPOEs include decision-based algorithms to accomplish those goals. The algorithms for driving these systems are shareable, and standards are being developed to enable that process of sharing. CPOE systems need to be patient-specific, considering patient demographics, age, gender, other, site-specific, disease-specific, and event-specific. CPOE systems often include healthcare plans to influence what tests are ordered and what treatments are given. This slide shows typical pseudocode within a CPOE system, which provides the logic for, in this case, treatment method. The protocol relates to the administration of heparin. This slide shows a screenshot from the Vanderbilt CPOE system. In the background, you can see the patient clinical data on the left and the CDSS calculations on the right. In this case, the CPOE algorithm issues a warning because the proposed order dose for gentamicin will result in a trough level that is too high. Consequently, a potential medication error is averted thanks to the smart CPOE system. The below describes the process for using this order entry application. 1. Upon MD stating patient is eligible for protocol, the CPOE system calculates the heparin dose and makes it easy to order tests associated with guidelines. 2. Links to educational materials available in protocol. 3. MD reviews relevant medications in lab. 4. MD selects actions and clicks button to activate guideline-related orders. The Vanderbilt system, WizOrder, has been used to implement VUMC Care Improvement Committee's protocol for DX and treatment of patients with suspected or confirmed deep venous thrombosis or pulmonary embolism. Protocol based on extensive literature review and consultation with local experts. Additional web pages help MDs to sequentially adjust heparin doses as called by for this complex weight and test result based protocol. This slide shows a care recommendation used by the registry system related to the giving of a flu shot. The recommendation is made only in the flu seasons, take age into consideration, looks for possible reaction based on egg allergy. If patient is over 65 or has had a diagnosis of COPD and is not allergic to egg, then give flu shot because patient is in a high risk category. The care system at registry has been in use for about 40 years. This slide shows a reminder for a colonoscopy test. Added to the reminder is the Framingham 10-year heart risk for this patient. As an exercise, go to www.framinghamheartstudy.org and see your risk factors for various heart diseases. There are many similar web pages available on the internet. Decision trees are popular ways of using statistics and probabilities to guide decision making. The first step is to define the problem in concept and scope. What are the alternative decisions? An example might be to treat the patient surgically or medically for a particular problem. Another is to operate or not operate it. For outcome tracking, determine the percentages for each outcome based on what is done and the specifics of the patient. What are the steps leading to the alternative actions? These are represented by chance nodes, defined by the actual data, and decisions node, identifying the alternatives. Determine the probability for each chance outcome. What is the probability that a patient with these symptoms might have the disease, for example? Finally, assign a value to each outcome. These values might be survival or death, for example. This slide shows a simple decision tree. Decision nodes are represented by a box, chance outcomes by a circle. In this case, the decision choice is to operate or not operate. The chance outcome is patient has the disease or the patient does not have the disease. The tree shows the set of possible outcomes, each of which would have an assigned value. The tree would lead to an action that selected the highest outcome value. The choice probabilities, not shown, would represent the prevalence of the disease. This slide shows an example of why patient preface is an important factor when selecting a course of action. Only the patient can make these decisions, hopefully after being informed and educated about the possible decisions. Some people would select length of life over quality of life. Others would do the opposite. Each person probably would have a different threshold at which they would make a decision based on length of life versus quality of life. At what level of quality of life would death be a preferred alternative? Are you a risk taker or not? This tool makes it easy for a person to convey that decision to a physician. This gamble approach can be used for simple things, like obesity. Given the probability of bad outcomes, at what point can we get patients to attempt to lose weight? So it is an educational tool as well. There are a number of these risk analysis programs available, including the one from the Framingham study previously mentioned. Evidence-based practice results from clinical trials and data mining and expert opinions documented in the literature. At the present time, the length of time from the discovery of new knowledge to routine bedside use is around 17 years. Current funding in such programs as the Clinical Transitional Science Act, CTSA, is an attempt to speed up this process, using newly acquired knowledge to create clinical guidelines and decision support algorithms is one way in which this gap can be closed. Application of evidence and prevention of errors, commission and omission, through diagnostic decision support, expert systems, other decision aids, decision analysis, computer-based provider order entry, practice guidelines. This webpage shows another source for clinical guidelines. There are many of such sources available on the internet and can be found through Google. One must, however, evaluate the quality of the work. The Cochrane Database of Semantics Reviews is another popular source of information that can be linked through the info button. In this case, the queries related to the use of vitamin E for Alzheimer's disease. Another example of a form of a decision support application, in this case, assessment of falls and injuries. This slide shows more information about falls and injuries. This slide shows a risk assessment tool for cancer from MD Anderson Cancer Center. It also can be accessed through info button and might be part of a PHR system. This slide asks questions about a patient's diet. This slide shows the risk assessment protocol. Such tools are useful in influencing patient behavior. This subunit has presented the HL7 standard info button, a feature that provides content-sensitive access to key knowledge. The value of the info button is that it is easy to implement and use. It can be used for almost any purpose, and it provides trusted links to key knowledge resources. This subunit also illustrates several of the knowledge resources that are available on the internet. Some of the material in this unit was taken from HL7.